Okay, there we go. Very good. That's better. Thank you. John 6, verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came amongst these people, and the Lord Jesus is so good in that he doesn't just ask us to believe him on so-called blind faith. The Lord Jesus came bringing evidence of who he was. He did this by doing signs or wonders or miracles, as the Bible calls them. Now, they are wonders in that they produce that effect on people, as the Lord Jesus did miraculous things. People were astonished at him. And then they are also miracles in the sense that they are works of power, that no man could do these things, as Nicodemus said in John chapter 3, unless he be a teacher come from God. But here the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 25, or verse 26 rather, he says, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles. Now the word he actually uses there is the word for signs. He says, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Now, unfortunately, there's no end of people like that even today who seek the Lord Jesus for motives other than what the Lord Jesus intended. That is to say, if you didn't take the meaning the Lord Jesus was intending by the miracle, if you missed the sign, and then you missed who he was. Now, if I may illustrate this, it would be as if you were driving down the main street of town here on Spanish Wells, and you saw me by the side of the road hugging a sign that said Adventurers Avenue. And you'd say, now, Keith, what are you doing? And I'd say, well, I'm at the Adventurers Motel. And you'd say, well, no, you're not at the Adventurers Motel. You're at the right street, but you're down the hill from it. You're clinging to a sign. And I would say, well, isn't this the key thing? It says adventurers after all, doesn't it? Isn't this the important thing? You'd say, no, you want to go on from the sign to what the sign points to the motel up the hill. Likewise with the Lord Jesus. When he did miracles, it was not just to pique people's curiosity or to keep people interested or to gather a crowd. It was meant to point to who he actually was. But the problem was, when the Lord Jesus did this wonderful miracle that all four Gospels record, the feeding of 5,000 plus people with five loaves and two fishes. I don't know if they were strawberry grouper or what type, but five loaves and two fishes to feed more than 5,000 people is a miracle by any stretch. And when these people participated in this, not just witness the miracle, but when they actually ate of these things and were filled, they said, this is great, you know. We won't have to work anymore. We can just follow Jesus around, and it's like having your own mobile buffet. The Lord Jesus can just make more and more food for you. Now you say, what kind of silly people would come to the Lord Jesus with an intention like that? Well, you know, there are people in our world today that come to the Lord Jesus similarly, and they say, if I come to Jesus, surely I'll be prosperous. Surely my business will be better. Surely I'll have health. Surely the Lord Jesus will give me good things. And that's why I want to come to Jesus. But the Bible says that's wrong. That's completely missing who he was. So when the people came to him and they said, Rabbi, we're seeking you. We're looking for you. The Lord Jesus said, look, don't try and patronize me. Don't try and butter me up. Don't try and make it look like you're so diligent in seeking me. The only reason you're looking for me is you enjoyed that loaves. It reminded you of Spanish Wells Johnny Cake. That's the only reason you're following me, is because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Well, they were a bit put off at that. The Lord Jesus told them here, labor not, in verse 27, for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, go beyond the physical to the spiritual. Go beyond what satisfies your stomach in the here and now and what your physical needs are now. Go beyond for that which the Lord gives, which will feed you spiritually. Well, they didn't understand that at all. In fact, we're going to see through this entire passage, there's a continual confusion when the Lord Jesus speaks of spiritual things. They understand only physical things. So look at how they react in verse 28. They say, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You see, they weren't listening. The Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man will give you a free gift. The Son of Man will give you this bread. They said, what must we do? And people are the same way with the Lord Jesus today, you know. They come to the Lord Jesus, and they don't want to hear about grace. They don't want to hear about something being given to them, which they don't deserve. They want to do something to earn it. They want to do something, to have favor before God. So they say, what must we do that we might work the works of God? And the Lord Jesus tells them in verse 29 plainly, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. What God wants us to do is to cease from doing and to start believing. That is, not to come with any works of our own, but to come believing, putting our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer put it, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's so beautiful, that thought. The Lord Jesus told them, believe on him whom he hath sent. But that wasn't good enough. You see, 1 Corinthians tells us that the Jews seek after a sign. And so they said in verse 30, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What work doest thou? Well, he had already done a sign, hadn't he? But they didn't perceive it. They didn't understand it. They didn't see to where the sign was pointing. And so they said, what sign? Ha, we've got an idea. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat of the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. In other words, Jesus, we've got a great idea. We know how you can prove the truth of what you're saying. Do a miracle like Moses did. If you can show that you're as great as Moses, then we'll believe you. As great as Moses, indeed. The Lord Jesus said, verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. In other words, you're giving Moses a little too much credit there, boys. It was really the Lord who gave the bread from heaven. Moses didn't give it to you. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. In other words, the one who gave Moses the manna is the same one who's offering you something even better right now, the true bread from heaven. For he says, verse 33, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life unto the world. And they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now, what would you do at that moment? If these people said, Lord, you're talking about giving us bread that we can eat of and never die. Lord, give us this bread. You'd say, raise your hand and pray this prayer after me. or come forward to show that you want the bread. But the Lord Jesus knew something, see? He looked at them and he knew that they were thinking of physical bread. They were thinking, if we could just eat a loaf of this bread and never have to eat anymore and live forever, that would be terrific. But the Lord Jesus said, no, they're missing it completely. Because he wasn't pointing them to something that was physical, that was material, that was substance. He was pointing them to himself, verse 35. Excuse me. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now in the Greek language that this was originally written in, the Lord Jesus phrases that very strongly because he uses a double negative in each case. Now that's bad grammar to say, for example, I ain't got none. That's bad grammar, you know, in English. But it's good grammar in Greek. Because if you use that form in Greek, you're saying, this by no means could ever happen. Excuse me, could I have a glass of water, please? He says, he that believeth on me shall never hunger. That is, never, ever. It's impossible for them to hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That is, never, ever thirst. He says, verse 36, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him, thank you, brother, appreciate it. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him at the last day. So the Lord Jesus tells them explicitly, what I'm offering you is myself. What you must eat of is me. I am the source of life. I'm the one that you need to be feeding on. But you see their reaction in verse 41. It says, the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Now you'll understand what they were talking about. Spanish Wells is really, although it's an island, it's much like a small town. And everybody knows everybody here. So if suddenly Graylin got up, and Graylin said, you know, I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania. They'd say, what's he talking about? He's from Reading, Pennsylvania. I don't even know if he's been to Pennsylvania, you say. We know where Graylin's from. We knew his parents. We knew his grandparents. We knew his great-grandparents. We know all about Graylin Pinder, you know. What's he trying to say? He came from Pennsylvania. Everybody ought to be from there, but sadly only a chosen few are. But Spanish Wells is a nice place to come from as well. But the Lord Jesus here said, I'm come from heaven. And they said, what is he talking about? We know his father and his mother. Oh, do you really? Did you bother to investigate the circumstances of his birth? They thought they knew about Jesus, but they really didn't, did they? There was so much about him they didn't know, and so they murmured at him. And then they complained that they knew where he was from. He said in verse 43, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which had sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. So what the Lord Jesus says here, at first, sounds very exclusive. If any man's going to come to me, the Father must draw him. And so somebody says, well, see, God only draws some people, and he doesn't draw others. But you notice what the Lord Jesus actually says. He says that everyone that is taught of God, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned the Father, cometh unto me. He says every man. In other words, it's open to anyone to come to the Father and to be taught of the Father and to learn of the Father. But if you won't learn of the Father, then you won't be drawn to the Son. You can't have the Father without the Son, and you can't have the Son without the Father. And they were people who were professing to know the Father. They were professing to be people who believed in God. But they didn't hear the Lord Jesus, and so it was evident they hadn't learned of God. And so he says to them, verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Now, coming back to what they had suggested that he give them manna, just as Moses had. I'm not trying to be casual. Just trying to get a little breathing space here. So, anyway, can you hold this a minute? Well, there we go. That's better. Thanks. Might need it again then. He says, I am that bread of life. Now, how does what the Lord Jesus was claiming to be, how does it compare with what Moses had given them? They suggested, Lord, give us the manna just like Moses did. But is that really what you want? So the Lord Jesus said, your fathers, in verse 49, did eat manna in the wilderness. And where are they? Are they walking around saying, you know, we've got all of our vitamins and our daily nutrients, and here we are, healthy and strong. Now we're over 1,400 years old. The Lord Jesus says, no, your fathers ate of that manna and are dead. So that manna couldn't have been all that great, because the influence it had, the effect it had, was only temporary. It only lasted for this lifetime. But look at what he's offering. He says in verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So figure, which is the better bread? You eat of one bread and you die. You eat of another bread and you live forever. What the Lord Jesus is offering is manifestly of much, much better quality, because he says, I'm offering you the bread from heaven that you may eat of and not die. Therefore the Jews strove among themselves, verse 52, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said unto them, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. What an offer that the Lord Jesus was offering to them, not something external to themselves, but something that they could take into themselves. Life that they could eat and imbibe, and it would be a life abiding within them. In other words, the Lord Jesus makes an offer to them that when the Lord Jesus is received, when the Lord Jesus is believed upon, when a person is born again, to describe it another way, the Lord Jesus said in John 14, I and the Father come and make our abode in him. The Lord Jesus comes and abides actually within. Our life is maintained not by what we do, not even by what we are, but our life is maintained by the one who's within us, the one we feed upon, the one in whom is our confidence. And that's abiding. That cannot be taken away. But of course, thinking about it in merely physical terms, a man coming with a bigger glass, that's what I like to see. Thank you. Appreciate it, Brother Alice. Thank you. That little bit of water you have there, Will, you can sell as a souvenir to the people afterward. A holy relic, if you will. Not so holy, I'm afraid. They were just thinking physically. And so when the Lord Jesus talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they thought, cannibalism. That's horrible. How can the Lord Jesus be offering to give us his physical flesh and physical blood to drink? Well, he wasn't, was he? He was talking about spiritual things. So for anyone, even today, to come to this passage and to say, you know, we physically eat the flesh of the Son of God, or we physically drink his blood in the Lord's Supper, these things actually become the body and blood of Christ. That isn't what the Lord Jesus was teaching at all, is it? Because this Lord's Supper wasn't even invented yet in John chapter 6. If the Lord Jesus were talking of the Lord's Supper, they'd have no clue, because he didn't speak about that till the end of the Gospels. And he elucidates it further in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He wasn't talking about the Lord's Supper at all. He was talking about spiritual things. And yet they were thinking about physical things. Now, what is the solution for this? What can a person do when they misunderstand the Lord Jesus? I tell you, there's only one thing they can do. Go to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, elevate my thinking. It's manifest. You're speaking about spiritual realities, and all I'm understanding is the physical. I want to understand the spiritual. Lord, show me what you mean. Sadly, they didn't do that. Instead, they complained. They murmured. Many of them went away from him, even among his own disciples. It says here, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, you idiots, I'm talking about spiritual things, not physical things. What if you see that I'm not where you think I'm from, that I'm not from around here, that I'm not from Nazareth, but I'm come from God? Then you would understand what I was saying to you. But instead of saying, Lord, we want to understand. Lord, elevate our thinking. Lord, teach us. Many of them went away and followed him no more. They didn't understand. It says here in verse 64, the Lord Jesus himself recognized, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus from the beginning knew who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now the Lord Jesus, John told us earlier in the Gospel in chapter 2, knew fully well what was in man. He needed not that any should testify to him of man. He knew what was in man. So he knew who believed and who didn't. And this whole thing of understanding the Lord Jesus is contingent upon one fact. Do you know the Lord Jesus or do you not know him? If you know him, even if you don't understand the full import of his words the first time around, you won't be offended at him. The Lord turns to his disciples and he says to them, will you also go away? In verse 67. In verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you had quizzed him, Simon Peter, please explain to us all the theological nuances of what the Lord Jesus just said in his message. I doubt if Peter could have done it. But the language of belief is, Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. To whom can we go but you? There's no source of life. There's no source of wisdom. There's nothing apart from you. Lord, we're going to continue to follow you. And that's a very important thing. In a day and age when it costs virtually nothing to say one is a Christian, it's tremendously important that in our hearts we actually believe, that we actually trust in the Lord Jesus, that our confidence is in him. Because I tell you, you come and you take the bread of life, not just to be saved, but you find when you're a believer that he is your ongoing spiritual food. He is what we feed on as believers, day by day. And there's nothing else in this world that we can feed on, not even boiled fish, which I love so much, not the psychology of man, not the books that men write, not the thinking of man, nothing out there in the wisdom of this world that will feed our souls like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. And if we've trusted him for salvation, he's the one that we feed on day by day. He's the one that is the source of this life. Peter says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? So you see, it's possible even to be chosen and not to believe. It's two sides of a coin, isn't it? The Lord has to choose, oh, that's certain. None of us would be saved if the Lord didn't come down from heaven and do so very much to reach us. But there's still that element of receiving it, isn't there? There's still that element of believing it. There's still that element of putting our faith and trust and coming and feeding on the bread of life. There's no substitute for that. We have to receive the gift that the Lord has given. But the Lord Jesus knew not all of them were saved. He says, have not I chosen you 12? And yet one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, that he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So being so close to the truth, hearing the words of God, hearing the sermons, watching the Son of God do all these signs, and yet he hardened his heart and would not believe. How tragic that is. And yet there are people on this island just like that, that are surrounded by Christians, that are surrounded by three churches that preach the gospel, that are surrounded by people that give out tracts and that speak of the Lord. And they might say, yes, I'm a Christian. But in their hearts, they don't believe. What a tragedy. How much better to be a Christian, to believe, to feed on Christ daily, and to know that that can never be taken away from us. What a great Savior we have. Now, I'm going to do something which my father taught me when I began preaching many years ago. He taught me that whenever you quit early, the people don't complain. And under the circumstances, I'm sure you'll understand why I'm quitting early. I promised to find a suitable replacement for the gospel meeting tonight, and I'm going to rest my voice, drink plenty of honey and sour and tea and whatever else I can lay my hands on, even a little bird pepper, to try and bring my voice back for Tuesday. And in turn, I hope that you will pray for me, that the Lord will give me full restoration for Tuesday's meeting. But I just want to close in a word of prayer. Thank you very much for your patience. Our Father, we thank thee this morning for the Lord Jesus. Whom have we but him? There's no one like the Lord Jesus. No one that we can feed on who satisfies. no one that we can drink of who slakes our thirst, Father. He is the only one. There's not a one like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. The Lord Jesus is precious. We feed on Him. We love Him. We're so thankful for what He did in dying on the cross and giving His flesh to be meat for the world and giving His blood to be that life-giving liquid, that which gives us eternal life. And oh, Father, we pray for the false professors on this island. We pray for those who think they are Christians but are not. And we pray for those who are just masquerading, those who know they're not saved, but they're more interested in their religious reputation. Father, convict them. Show them their need to do away with empty profession and to have possession, to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.